This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Newell taking some time off. I'm Dave Cohen. Glad to be here with you on this, what I like to call Friday Eve, because, well, Friday's a day so nice, I like to celebrate it twice. And with this amazing weather we're having, especially with that cold front coming next week, my goodness, it just keeps getting better and better. Unfortunately, the reports keep getting worse and worse out of Florida as we start to get a better handle on just the massive amounts of devastation. It was not the worst case scenario for Milton hitting Florida, at least not for Tampa Bay, but for many other communities, it has been devastating and it is going to be a long and hard recovery. We'll continue to keep you updated on that here on the air and on our website at WWL.com. Coming up next hour, Rafael Goyeneche joins us for the weekly crime hour here on the Newell Norman Show. And we'll talk about just how much crime is down and get his thoughts on what happened this morning on State Street near Britannia, where officers had saturated that neighborhood after five previous burglaries where suspects were breaking into houses and stealing guns. In some cases, even we're told stealing safes and burglarizing homes in what is a really nice neighborhood there in Uptown. And, well, it happened again today, and the cops were ready this time. They confronted a alleged burglar who they say was carrying at least four stolen guns after setting off an alarm at a house on State Street near Britannia. They confronted him and shot him. At last report, he was still in surgery, and we will wait and see if he survives or not. But the police, at this point, reacting and reacting very quickly. They were there within 3 minutes of the alarm going off, and it ended with the suspect in the hospital with multiple bullet wounds. So we'll continue that conversation as well and keep you updated on that individual. Joining us this hour is Dr. Skip Gallagher, a UNO professor and an NOPD watchdog. Professor Gallagher, thank you for joining us here on WWL.
Good morning, Dave. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. Got to be loving this weather, right?
Oh, my gosh. It is absolutely wonderful. We need longer periods like this.
Yeah, well, just wait till Tuesday when we're going to have morning lows in the 50s across most of the region with almost no humidity and highs only in the 70s. Some people will complain it's too cold. I will not be one of those people.
I won't either.
So, Professor Gallagher, you have taken on a role as an NOPD watchdog. And what we hear right now about NOPD is glowing reports about proactive policing, fantastic reports about record crime reduction, about leading the nation in driving murder, shootings, carjackings, auto theft, and one after the other crime category down by nearly or more than 40%. We're talking about getting near historic low levels of crime in the city. And the only official in the city of New Orleans that has a positive perception from the public, according to the most recent UNO survey, was the police chief. All of the others, the mayor, the city council, and everybody else, are unpopular. Only the police chief is considered popular, with more than 50% of residents surveyed in New Orleans thinking she's doing a good job versus everybody else they feel is not. So that's all good, right?
Yes, yes. And I agree with that. I think the new chief is doing a wonderful job. He's got a big uphill battle to fight and has to come into a new city with a lot of variables, and it's such a unique city, and sort of figure out what's going on and how to fix it. And it's a lot for someone. And I think she's doing a really good job. And it's important to note that there are a lot of good officers in the NOPD really trying to do their best job. And most of them are the case. Unfortunately, there are bad apples within the department. And that's one of the things that I keep finding. And that's what I'd like to see stop. It's discouraging to honest officers to see some of the corruption that still exists. And when I started this about 3 years ago, it wasn't hard to find. At that time, PIB was one of the most corrupt divisions within the NOPD.
The Public Integrity Bureau, you're saying, was one of the most corrupt of all of the NOPD.
Yes, and for those that aren't familiar with it, it's essentially New Orleans' version of internal affairs. They're the police that investigate the police. But under Arlinda Westbrook and Sabrina Richardson, it was the most corrupt organization within the NOPD. Now, there has been a change there, and slowly that corruption has been rooted out of PIB, and there's much fewer complaints about officers in PIB being corrupt.
Right, before we get any deeper into that, I want to kind of complete this initial thought that I was beginning here for the program, because everything we hear about the New Orleans police lately in the media is typically been very positive. Even up until the point where the United States Justice Department filed a joint brief with the NOPD to the federal judge overseeing the consent decree, saying that it's time for NOPD to get out from under federal supervision. It's time to end the consent decree, begin the two-year off-ramp. And that sounds so encouraging and so wonderful that after a history where we all know about the rampant corruption that was in and amongst the NOPD for the last several decades, police officers ordering hits, police officers protecting drug shipments, police officers shooting and killing unarmed civilians just looking for food after Katrina, and then planting a gun on them and manufacturing fake witnesses to allege that the people who were shot actually were armed and were firing at police. The list goes on and on. And like I said, for decades, we could bring up so many cases of rampant corruption in the NOPD. But what we're hearing now has all been so glowingly positive. But then, you know, I'm told I'm filling in for Newell Norman, and Dr. Skip Gallagher is going to come on because he's got a lawsuit against the NOPD because there is still corruption within the ranks, and NOPD is refusing to cooperate with public records requests to a point where you felt you had to sue them to try and get the information to find out what's really going on. So what is the reality, at least through your eyes, of what is happening at NOPD? Are things as wonderful and great as we keep hearing, or are there still these underlying long-rooted issues that have not truly been solved yet?
Yeah, that is it's a big question. And part of the answer lies in the records that I'm requesting. And I have part of the answer because I've had officers within the NOPD tell me what's going on. And on occasion, I can actually obtain those records and confirm what they're saying. And what's important here in this suit is that NOPD's own policy says they'll provide records within 3 days. State law says within 5 business days. I now have requests that are 14 months old, and I still cannot obtain those records that I requested 14 months ago. So I have no choice but to file suit. And luckily, the Tulane's First Amendment Law Clinic is very supportive here and will hopefully put this in front of a judge and sort this out. But I have some of the records I've obtained show some really disturbing information. One is we've had more than 100,000 DNA samples stored in central evidence that are unprocessed. We have one DNA analysis in Baton Rouge. We have processed every year just a few hundred DNA samples. The only way a DNA sample is even going to be processed if it's a rape or a murder. And what we all know from these CSI shows is that DNA can be used for much more. We can use it for just about any sort of crime, but we just don't have that ability.
I'm going to pause you there because sure. I do want to, and I will let everyone know, we have invited the police chief to join us on this program during this hour. And so far we have not, so far the police chief is unavailable. And we also invited the city attorney to join us, and we're told mm-hmm. they were electing not to respond at this time. So mm-hmm. we're trying to get the answers from the people you're suing so that yes. we can represent their side of this story as well. That being said, I remember a news conference just earlier this year. The NOPD mm-hmm. has a new crime lab facility. They're working on getting the facility fully outfitted with all of the technology that's needed and hiring all the people, getting everyone credentialed and getting all of the training and everything else that is needed with a whole new team of DNA analysts. This is, they expressed at the time, the goal of this new DNA lab, new crime lab, is so that they can do all of this high-tech CSI stuff that we see on TV in reality here and attack the backlog of DNA samples waiting to be tested. Is that not accurate? Is that not what you see the NOPD trying to do?
So the reason they even have a new head of the crime lab is because of the work I started more than 3 years ago, where it was revealed that they weren't processing DNA samples and that DNA samples were lagging more than 3 years. And now they've hired Dr. Kelly, who actually comes from a wonderful department. She's from the Houston Crime Lab. The Houston Crime Lab had a long history of mismanagement under their police force. They are now an all-civilian force. And that's what our crime lab needs to head toward. And I think Dr. Kelly is pointing it in that direction. But what she took on was in such poor condition. We didn't have the people. We had our crime scene techs, almost every single one of them resigned at one point. So we had no one to investigate crimes. We had one person to analyze DNA. At one point, we only had two drug chemists. And actually, at this moment, I think all three of the drug chemists are disqualified from running drug samples at this moment. We have not had strong training for DNA analysis or drug analysis. And because of that, we've had a backlog. And this backlog, we will never be able to catch up with 100,000 plus samples. But
and for every one of those samples not tested, that's a potential criminal who's getting away with it.
Absolutely. And that is absolutely the case. There is almost no argument you can make that DNA should not be tested, because if you have someone that, say, breaks into a home, was that their only crime? Did they commit some other crime that DNA may link them to? Were they possibly involved in a rape in some previous instant? We're not going to know that because that DNA sample is stored in central evidence and likely to never be tested. If we sat down and did the numbers to go through a backlog that large, it would take years, even with a large staff of DNA analysis. Now, Dr. Kelly is on top of this. She seems to be a very sharp, sharp person. And she seems to have hired some good people. But 3 years ago, when I looked at this, we had the NOPD hiring people who were not qualified, people who had lied on their resume. So they would hire these people and then have to fire them because they found out they weren't qualified or lied on their resume.
So is the future bright or is it not when you talk about this specific aspect of what it is you're seeking to achieve? Is the future bright that we will have a credentialed set of analysts in a crime lab that has the equipment that they need that can actually run these crucial tests and solve these crimes anytime soon?
Not anytime soon. It's going to take a couple of years. It is not an easy task that she's taken on, and the crime lab was in such disarray that training these people, hiring and training these people, is going to take a considerable period of time. Then buying the equipment needed. Basically, the building is empty. It doesn't have people who are currently running tests at this point. She's going to be able to fix this, and it is clear that she's making progress in that direction, but it is a long haul. And there is still NOPD officers assigned to the crime lab, and there shouldn't be. The most recent crime labs who are successful have no NOPD or no police officers assigned to the lab. One of the problems with that is called confirmational bias, where you have police officers who believe in an outcome and try to impart that outcome to test results. And that's a real problem.
We're talking with Dr. Skip Gallagher. We got to take a break, Professor, so we will let you finish that thought when we come back. I also want to talk to you in more detail about the lawsuit that you have filed against the NOPD in the city of New Orleans for over a year now of being stonewalled on public records requests. What is it that you're trying to uncover? What are these allegations? And you said there are still bad apples. How many? Not a specific number, but are there less corrupt cops than there used to be? We're sure led to believe that. If the Justice Department thinks the NOPD is ready to get out from under a consent decree, sounds like they've cleaned up their act. But we'll find out if Dr. Gallagher thinks otherwise when we come back. And we welcome your questions and your thoughts at 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line. We're seeing another side amidst all the great news about NOPD. Is it as great as we think? Again, we asked the police chief and the city attorney to come on to talk about this. They have declined at this point. Coming up in the news in about 30 minutes, we will have the latest on a New Orleans police officer shooting and wounding a suspect after the sixth burglary in the Uptown neighborhood. This one on State Street near Britannia. They say that people have been breaking into homes and stealing guns over and over. It happened again this morning. And police were ready. They had saturated the area waiting for it to happen again. It did. And they shot the suspect, who was at last report in surgery. They recovered four stolen guns from that home this morning. We'll have more details coming up at the top of the hour. We're talking about the New Orleans police this hour. And all of the news about the NOPD really has been encouraging, has been fantastic. The reduction of crime, the new and different approach that they're taking to fighting crime, the agreement with the Justice Department to get out from under the consent decree that was put in place because of the rampant corruption, waste, and mismanagement of the New Orleans Police Department. Now it seems all parties are close to agreeing that it's time to end that federal oversight. But at the same time, Dr. Skip Gallagher, a UNO professor and NOPD watchdog, says there remain unanswered questions, and he can't get answers from the New Orleans Police Department. Dr. Gallagher, before we took our break, you were talking about the effort to get the new crime lab up and running. It's there. It doesn't have all the equipment yet, and it doesn't have all the people yet. It is not credentialed yet and cannot actually be running any tests at the new crime lab. And while that's going on, they're using the state police crime lab. Let's finish that thought before we move on to our next topic.
Yes, the state crime lab is not capable of handling the results. So what has happened is the DNA samples have been farmed out to a Florida company. We're paying about $3,500 per sample to run those. The city council appropriated about $3 million to help run through this three-year backlog of DNA samples. And those results are being processed by that Florida lab. But Florida does not have access to CODIS, which is the DNA database which you would use to compare those results. So the results have to be sent back to the state crime lab. And at that point, the state crime lab would then enter the DNA data into CODIS. The results from that would then be sent back to the city. So it adds an extra couple of steps. It certainly increases our cost for DNA considerably. If these tests were done in-house, it would be less than half that price per DNA sample. And we would be able to do many more DNA samples. But the state crime lab doesn't have the resources either. And because we only have one person at the state crime lab capable of running DNA samples, it's very limited what we can actually process with that one person. So we're going to need to appropriate more money just to keep up with the DNA samples that we need to process for murders and rapes moving forward. That $3 million, more than half of it has already been spent trying to move through that three-year backlog of DNA samples that were sent to the DNA lab in Baton Rouge, but were unprocessed.
And I just wonder, at some point, with crime reduction being what it is, if NOPD is successful in continuing to reduce and keep crime low, if there will be the political and public will to put more money into testing that backlog, or if at some point that's just not going to happen. And there is less crime now. So hopefully that means there are less samples being taken because there are less cases to investigate. And does that at all help catch up on the backlog if at least we're not increasing the number of those samples that are submitted as we have fewer and fewer crimes right now?
Well, we also have to think about other crimes and when DNA is collected. For example, an assault where it wasn't a rape or a murder, there would be DNA. A car robbery where DNA is recovered from the vehicle, or a home invasion, which is one of the things you're talking about apparently in the next hour, where DNA would be recovered from that crime scene. There are many, many crimes where we would expect to collect DNA, but those samples are left in central evidence unprocessed. We have literally fridges full of these samples, which we don't have. We have not committed the financial resources to process them, and we don't currently have DNA analysis to process those samples. Now, this is still just one aspect of what I'm really
right.
looking
yeah,
for.
And I wanted to kind of move on to some of the other aspects, because I think we've done a good job of kind of painting the picture here. What I think is maybe even more worrisome is the claims that you're investigating that there is continued corruption within the ranks of the NOPD, and that there continues to be activity amongst police officers that needs to be investigated, and you're trying to find out what is happening through these public records requests. How rampant, and I don't know that how you can compare, but based on what we used to know about the NOPD and what got them into this whole consent decree and some of the cases I outlined earlier and many more of extreme corruption within the ranks, where do you feel like that level of corruption is? Every tree is going to have some bad apples, but it used to be that a lot of the apples were bad. What does a harvest look like now from the NOPD apple tree?
Yeah, I'm actually very optimistic with what the new chief is doing. It's just there's a lot of work, and it's difficult to put that in historic context because she wasn't here years ago when that existed. What she has to work with is the situation she hit the ground with, and there are some real problems. One of the ones that should be in front of everyone right now is that the captains and major exams were canceled. So the officers that were at the top of those lists are essentially being punished because, well, why? And the chief has alluded that it was something beyond her control. And that is really disturbing because if you're familiar with who's at the top of the majors list, it looks like it's some sort of there's some politics going on, which is punishing those officers who are at the top of that list, who were successful at the exam and the process they had to go through for advancement, are now being penalized. No.
Who would be penalizing them? Who, if it's not the police chief, if it's beyond her control, what politics do you believe may be involved that has been inflicted upon these people who you say deserve promotions but can't get them?
Who is the only one that can tell the police chief what to do? And last year, we had 3 days of federal hearings in September of last year, basically over the VAPI nonsense. And what happened there? Essentially, there was a plan put in place for the executive protection team to be reformed, have some oversight. And what we saw instead was more pictures appeared. Officer VAPI has now resigned from the force. Officer VAPI has been indicted. I mean, it's looking grim for the mayor that she will also be indicted. But there, the officers at the top of that major list had something to do with that.
So if we connect the dots here, you want to know if New Orleans Mayor LaToya Cantrell, public official one in the VAPI indictment, is punishing those officers and those people amongst the ranks and those people amongst the brass who may not have supported her in her efforts to get her alleged lover off the hook.
I would like to know the answer to that. But my attempt at obtaining public records is been stymied. It's almost essentially stopped. And hopefully this lawsuit will free that up. But it certainly points in that direction.
Who are you suing, and where are you suing them?
I'm suing, essentially, you have to sue whoever's in charge of that organization. So it's the police chief, and it's certainly nothing personal. It's just that's the person that has to be named in the suit as the controller of those records. And why those records aren't being freed up, I have some information from officers within the department as to why, and I've also had some folks within the city attorney's office tell me why. But none of it's good, and part of it is because some of the things I find, like these 100,000-plus DNA samples laying about in central evidence, or some of the payroll fraud that I found within the NOPD itself. And I would like to know why we have 32 officers last year who were over $200,000 in compensation. How did those officers get to that level? We had officers making $250,000 last year. That is a very healthy salary. And the officer that made the most is under 4 or 5 PIB investigations currently. How do we get officers that are that messed up at the top of our payroll in the NOPD?
And, is that for direct New Orleans Police Department employment, or is that including details that they do to provide private police officer paid details at businesses, events, functions, and elsewhere?
It includes details, but I can also say that I don't have the total amount. If an officer works the Superdome or Smoothie King, those numbers aren't reported to secondary employment. So in many cases, the numbers are actually higher.
So you want to know, how is it that an officer can make $250,000 or more through their employment with NOPD and through details that they're working? Mm-hmm. And I guess some of the obvious questions would be, are there enough hours in the day and days in the week for them to work enough details to make enough money to make that kind of salary?
You just hit the nail on the head. You just hit the nail on the head. That is exactly the right point. By the time you start to reach those compensation levels, you simply run out of hours in the day. And the officer that earned the most last year, he actually had a previous payroll fraud investigation where within a 2-year period, they found 333 payroll violations. And he was given a 5-day suspension and promoted. And now he is in at least 4 PIB investigations for his behavior. You can't turn around and find somebody that has 333 payroll violations, promote them, and expect them to stop their behavior. And that's exactly what happened. The officer didn't. I have asked for records looking at an audit of the NOPD, but my last request, there has been no audit of the NOPD's payroll records or finances since at least 2017. And with some of the compensation
Not by the Independent Police Monitor, not by the Inspector General for the City of New Orleans, not by the judge overseeing the consent decree, nobody since 2017?
No, and I actually spoke to the OIG about this, or someone at OIG about this, and they said they will not conduct any investigation of the NOPD. And they were quite specific that they will not conduct an investigation of the NOPD.
Now, did they say why?
What's that?
Did they say why?
No, they did not. They did not say why. I asked, and I did not get an answer.
We're talking with Dr. Skip Gallagher, UNO professor and NOPD watchdog, about the lawsuit he's filed against the New Orleans Police Department, trying to determine if corruption allegations he's been hearing have merit or not, and try to find out just what's happening within the NOPD, but says for over a year now, he has not been getting any response on public records requests. So he is taking the police chief as the commander of the organization to court to try and get those. We asked police chief, the police superintendent, to join us Ann Kirkpatrick on this program. We're told she was unavailable. We asked the city attorney's office to join us and was told they were electing not to do that at this time. So if it sounds like we only have one side of the story, it's not for lack of trying to get the other side. It's just the other side did not want to comment at this time. We'll continue our conversation with Dr. Gallagher coming up. We welcome your calls, questions, texts, 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Dr. Skip Gallagher is our guest, a UNO professor and NOPD watchdog. He wants to know if there is corruption amongst the ranks of the NOPD still, particularly when it comes to what could be payroll fraud to the tune of millions of dollars when it comes to allegations that the mayor is punishing those amongst the rank and amongst the brass who did not support her and her reported boyfriend, Officer Jeffrey Vappi. Wants to know a number of other questions about allegations, untested, huge backlogs of DNA tests, waiting for tests that may never come in the NOPD. And he has filed a lawsuit against the New Orleans Police Department because his attempts to investigate these claims and others have been stonewalled through his public records requests. Professor, do you think in 457 days, 7 hours, 11 minutes, and 40 seconds, things might change dramatically? That's when Mayor Cantrell is out of office, not that anyone's counting.
Well, again, as I mentioned earlier, I'm very encouraged by the new chief. I think she has a very good moral compass. She has the respect of the folks that are working for her. I think she, as you mentioned earlier, she has the respect of the community, and she is certainly moving the NOPD in the right direction. So do not get me wrong in any way, shape, or form. It's just a big job. It's a big job, and there are more than a few problem officers among that. When and if we go back a little bit in time, if you remember when Arlinda Westbrook and Sabrina Richardson were in charge of PIB, there was really just a huge amount of corruption there. And we actually saw the ranking officer at PIB, or Internal Affairs, Sabrina Richardson, was found guilty of payroll fraud. Now, for you and I, this might involve, this is against Louisiana law, and we might end up in jail. Instead, she was given a suspension. She was demoted. But since then, she has now been put in charge of our upcoming Super Bowl. And she has been moved into headquarters and is on the list to be promoted to captain again. I don't understand how this happens. When you have an officer that was this egregious, how is that officer being considered for promotion? So, and how is that officer receiving some of the best assignments in the NOPD?
And that is part of the public records request catalog, if you will, that you have filed with the NOPD and have not gotten answers back.
That's correct. Yes. And we need to be honest about that. If an officer has significant history, whether it be criminal or otherwise, maybe they shouldn't be an NOPD officer. And one of the encouraging points is we've recently seen three officers arrested. I think one for assault, one for stealing gas, another for payroll fraud. That is really encouraging, and that has occurred under the new chief. But it is still a bit of a tip of the iceberg. There are many other officers engaged in similar behavior, and we need that to stop. We expect officers to enforce the law, not to be violating the law.
Is it safe to say that there is less corruption now than there was when you began your role as an NOPD watchdog, and less corruption now than there was when the city was all but forced into a consent decree with the Justice Department? Is the New Orleans police moving in the right direction, and is it less corrupt than it used to be?
Yes. Yes. I think that is absolutely the case. There is still a battle for the heart of the NOPD among those honest officers. Honest officers are just that. They're honest. They're not going to engage in poor behavior or illicit behavior to get ahead. They're not going to sabotage their friends within the NOPD. They're going to do the right thing. They're going to show up for calls. They're going to perform their job. And those officers often feel alienated when they see officers who are cheating the system, who have maybe a criminal record, and yet they're still promoted or advanced, and they don't understand that. It's demoralizing to them. I've had so many calls, and both named and anonymous, from officers that will tell me the most amazing things, and you feel for them. They really want to do the right thing, and they're trying to do the right thing, but they often run up against these officers who don't have a moral compass, that don't have a problem cheating, that often I found officers that weren't even going to work, yet they were claiming extraordinary hours. I think, as you mentioned earlier, how do you get to $250,000? There's just not enough hours in the day. And one of the things officers have taken advantage of, at least those officers who don't have that moral compass, is the 16-35 rule, where the NOPD restricts officers to working 16 hours and 35 minutes within a 24-hour period. The problem with that is, if you look at any other industry, if you will, pilots, truck drivers, train conductors, their limits on work are much, much lower, in the area of 10 hours. Yet officers go out with a gun, with a vehicle, and we have officers that will claim back-to-back 16-hour and 35-minute days. And some of these officers, one I just looked at recently, that officer lives more than an hour away. So they only have a seven-hour break. Their transit time home and back is more than 2 hours. It would only permit about 6 hours, maybe 5 hours of sleep before they are theoretically back at work.
If they even use every minute of that for sleeping. So many questions you feel exactly need answers, and they're answers you're not getting. We will continue to track your lawsuit, and we look forward to hearing back from you as we see how that moves through the courts and what kind of rulings you get. And if you get this information to help you determine if these allegations and claims of continued corruption are true or not. Dr. Gallagher, we appreciate you joining us here on WWL.
Not a problem. And please get those other folks on and speak to them. I'd like to hear the chief, and I'd like to hear the city attorney.
Well, we tried. We invited them, and at this point, they have declined our invitation. I'm Dave Cohen, in for Newell Norman. More of your calls and texts at 504-260-1870 coming up. And someone wants to know, how many days, hours, minutes, and seconds left of Cantrell? I'll share the countdown with you again after this. 457 days, 7 hours, and 53 seconds. That's how much time is left until Mayor Cantrell is no longer the mayor of the city of New Orleans. Coming up, we're going to talk with Rafael Goyeneche, president of the Metro Crime Commission. We'll talk about a number of things in the weekly crime hour with Rafael Goyeneche. I want to get his thoughts on what happened today. We've now learned that a New Orleans police officer shot a suspected home burglar in the gut. He was found several blocks away from the scene on a porch, taken to the hospital, and brought into surgery. At last report, he was still in surgery. We'll see what Rafael Goyeneche thinks about that, as this was at least the sixth incident of a home burglary in that uptown neighborhood with someone stealing guns. This time, didn't get away.